It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our last study of the book of John, we are in chapter 13, and we were reading how that the Lord had told the apostles that one of them would betray him. And Jesus was there, and he was talking to his apostles, and John was leaning on his breast, and Peter wanted to know who it was who would betray him. So he asked John, "Ask the Lord." Now the Bible says there that the disciples looked on one another, doubting of whom he spake, of whom would betray him. And verse 23 says, "Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved." And I believe this was John the Apostle. Verse 24, "Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him," to John the Apostle, "that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake," of whom Jesus spoke, of who was going to betray him. "He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it?" Well, Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now, a sop, I understand, is a morsel. It would be a morsel of bread or something like that. And this was something that Jesus said he was going to give to the one who betrayed him. Somewhere or another, and I don't know how or why, and this would have been something that we would see later on. Judas would be exposed, but he was not exposed here. The disciples, the apostles, other apostles did not recognize at this time that Judas was the one who was going to betray Christ. I don't know why, because Jesus plainly said, "The one I give the sop to, he's the one who's going to betray me." Well, maybe he gave a sop to all of the apostles. I don't know, but he gave it to Judas first, evidently, and the apostles didn't recognize it. In verse 27, "And after the sop," after it was given to Judas, in other words, "after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly." Verse 28, "Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him." In other words, he spoke this to Judas. He said, "Whatever you're going to do, go do it quickly." He knew that Judas was going to sell him, and he was going to let the scribes, Pharisees, and those Jews who wanted to kill Jesus, they were going to be told and shown who Jesus was, and they would kill him. Verse 29, "For some of them thought because Judas had the bag," now they didn't understand it was Judas who was going to betray him, but they thought that since Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, "Buy those things that we have need of against the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. In other words, Jesus told him, "Go on out of here. Whatever you're going to do, do it quickly." And they thought simply because Judas was the treasurer of the group, he held the bag, and that's what that means. He was the treasurer. He had the money. And the other apostles thought that possibly Judas was going to go buy something for the poor. He was going to do something that the Lord wanted him to do with the money that he was carrying. And verse 30 says, "He then, having received the sop," this is Judas, "went immediately out, and it was night." Well, how many people are walking in darkness today because they do and not do the things that Jesus wants them to do, and that thing is to receive him as Savior? Well, how many saved people do not do the things that Jesus wants them to do? He wants us to be soul winners. He wants us to tell others about him. And he wants us to live a consecrated life for him. That doesn't mean we're going to be sinlessly perfect. This body is sin, and we're never going to be sinlessly perfect in this body. That's the reason we receive a new body. The real person is saved. That is the soul. That is the real person that is within you. When I say the Spirit of God indwells you. That's the Holy Spirit. But the real person is the person who is saved and going to go to heaven. This body is not going to go to heaven. This body is going to die. And that's the reason we receive a new body. That new body will have nothing about it that is sin, because no sin is going to see Jesus Christ. No sin is going to be in his presence when we go to be, when a person goes to be with him in the rapture of the church. No one's going to go there who's not saved. And no one is going to go to heaven apart from receiving the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've said this so many times, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no doing away with sin apart from the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus told Judas, he said, what you're going to do, go on out and do it quick. Go ahead and tell them. Go ahead and be ready to let them know who I am, so that, in so many words, he's saying, so I will go to the cross. Verse 29, for some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Now, in verse 31, the Bible picks up here by saying, therefore, when he was going out, that's Judas, when he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Now, if you will compare Scripture with Scripture, I've mentioned this before. You go to Matthew 26, Luke 22, and 1 Corinthians 11. You'll see how that the Lord's Supper is to be conducted, and what reason the Lord's Supper was instituted. And we often think that people from all walks of life would be able to take the Lord's Supper, because after all, it's just a piece of bread, a wafer, whatever, and it's just some juice. What's the big deal? But Jesus says and teaches that the Lord's Supper is only for his people, only for the saved people. Now, if we read once again in the book of John, we go back there of what I just read and what I've just talked about here. We saw how that Judas left. He went out because the Lord said, whatever you're going to do, do it quickly. Go and get out of here so that the prophecy will be fulfilled. That's what he's saying. Go on and do what you're going to do. Go ahead and turn me in. Well, Judas was gone. That left the 11 apostles with Jesus Christ. And as they were left with him, the Lord's Supper was instituted. And this tells me that no unsaved person is allowed to take the Lord's Supper. That doesn't mean they're not going to take it. Some people are going to take it, and they've never been born again. They don't realize that they're walking on dangerous ground, because 1 Corinthians chapter 11 gives a warning that for those people who take the Lord's Supper unworthily, some sleep. In other words, some have died. Some are sick. Some have sleep, are sleeping. Some die. And I believe this applies to unsaved people who would take the Lord's Supper, not realizing that we're to do that in remembrance of him, of his death. And we think also of his blood and his death, burial, and resurrection. We are saved people who are worshiping our Lord in the Lord's Supper. So I see the indication here where Judas was sent out. He did not partake of the Lord's table. Why? Because he was not saved. And people who are not saved should never partake of the Lord's table. They should never partake of it. Verse 31 again says, therefore, when he was gone out, that's Judas, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. In other words, he knew that he was going to go to the cross very shortly. Verse 32, if God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. There's not going to be any doubt. God's going to be glorified, and so is Jesus. Verse 33, little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. You know, of the many things that I see happening in local churches today is that there are many Christians who are at odds against each other. They, instead of working together, they want to work against each other. One wants to have the preeminence, And this is something that shouldn't be. But we're to love one another as the people of God. We're to love everybody. And, you know, things may not go the way we want it to go, even in government. We may have someone who is in authority that we don't agree with, we don't like, but we love them. We're to love them because the Bible says that we're to love all people. And that person that we disrespect, that we have no respect for, that person still has a soul. That person still needs to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So therefore, we may never meet that person who's in control of this country, but we can sure pray for them. We can pray first for their salvation, that God would save them, that they would come to that saving knowledge, and that God would take care of them. We should never pray for someone to die, especially without the Lord Jesus Christ. So we, once again, as servants of God, we're to do what He wants us to do, not what our old flesh wants, but what He wants us to do. We do this in the Spirit. We are to love one another, first as Christians, and then we're to love everybody in this world. Love them to the Lord, that they would know Jesus Christ as Savior. Now notice here, if you would, that verse 35 says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Church people should never backbite. They should never cause problems within the local church or within themselves to one another. This is a disgrace in the sight of God. This is disgraceful as saved people, as Christians. Some people who are looking on, especially those unsaved people of this world, they see so much bickering and arguing going on in local churches that they say, if that's what it's about, I don't want to have any part of it. Well, that's turning people away. And we are people of God who should be helping people come to Jesus Christ instead of driving them away from the saving knowledge, from the salvation that Jesus wants to give everybody. Verse 36 of John chapter 13 says, "Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither thou goest, or whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." Jesus is telling Simon, he says, you know, Jesus knew that Simon wanted to do what was right here. He wanted to go with him. He said, wherever you're going, I'm going. Well, Jesus said, you can't do that right now, but afterwards you're going to go. Now, he was speaking of Peter's death, of course. In verse 37 says, "Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." Now notice this. Now, I believe that this is one of the verses that many people know, but they don't know where it's found. It's found in John chapter 13 and verse 38. Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake?" He says, "Peter, are you going to lay down your life for me?" "Verily, verily," Jesus said, "I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice," or three times. Peter would deny the Lord, but later on, Peter would preach. Many thousands of people would be saved. And that tells me that God can use anybody. God is willing to use that person who is far away from Him today. I'm talking of a saved person who has gotten away from the Lord, not living for the Lord. God can still use you if you're that person. He wants you to confess that sin. If we confess sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org, or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.